Our scripture reading for this morning are the familiar words of Job, chapter 19, beginning with verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth, and after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. If you have a friend on Facebook who is pregnant, or someone in your family, you've probably already seen some ultrasound images of their baby. It's become very common today. It's quite an amazing thing, isn't it, to get pictures of human life developing inside of the womb, that we can actually go inside of the mother's womb with a camera to document and not just take still pictures, but video of life inside the womb. It is just absolutely fascinating. Our great-grandparents would just be blown away by that. And that may be one of the reasons that Gallup polling has determined, last year they did a study on young people, that there has been recently a 32-point swing in thoughts about life in the womb as needing to be protected in the direction of the pro-life cause just since 1990. And they think a lot of this has to do with the fact that technology has allowed us to see that life so much more vividly inside of the womb. The ability to go inside of the human body with cameras is just a fascinating thing. Doctors now can make just tiny little incisions in the skin and put these tiny little microscopic cameras inside of your body, even inside of your veins and things, to see things. Just absolutely phenomenal what we're able to do these days. The technology already exists right now to document your human body's life all the way from conception to the grave. It's just absolutely phenomenal. That if you really wanted to, you could actually create a video, as boring as it may seem, of your full body's life. National Geographic could produce a two-hour documentary just watching in speed time how your physical human body has gone from being inside of your mother all the way to your grave. It's just absolutely fascinating. You could see how you developed through childhood and into adolescence, puberty, adulthood, putting on the freshman 15, or for some of you, the freshman 50, now that you've arrived here. And just watching all of that develop with your body. Studies have been done on the physiology of the human body recently that demonstrate that already by your early 20s, you are, in many ways, starting to go down the other side of the hill. Because the lung capacity of a human being and your pulmonary system is already beginning to deteriorate at least by about age 22. Studies have also been done. There was a study done up at the Simon Fraser University in Canada. They actually took a whole bunch of college students and people recently out of college and had them play video games. StarCraft 2, I guess, was the whatever that means, but some of you know what that is. And they had them play video games, and they observed their cognitive capabilities over a period of years, and they determined that by age 24, a person's cognitive skills begin to deteriorate. So here you are, just starting life when you're in your college years and soon thereafter, and yet according to medical studies and physiological studies and cognitive studies, you're going downhill already. You're already beginning the deterioration process. Welcome to this fallen world. There is a natural deterioration process that starts to take place in us, and it's already working on us in adulthood. And it's all because of the effects of the fall into sin. Well, you maybe don't feel them at your age, but they're already starting to happen. Now, let's say that we could take technology and take who you are right now and project ahead. Well, they've got age-enhanced video work and photography now that can try to predict what you're going to look like. I saw a documentary recently of an Oxford professor who was explaining how this works, and she had a crowd about this large and pulled out a young 13-year-old boy, and she took images of him and on a huge screen in front of everybody did age enhancement to see exactly what his face would look like. And each year as it clicked by, she took him all the way up to age 72. And this little 13-year-old kid was watching himself age. And then she said, "What do you think?" And he stood there just stunned. And he said, "It's scary." Imagine if you, and you can do that. There's actually a company called April, I think it's called April Age Incorporated. They can sell you the software to do this for yourself, to actually do an age enhancement of your own face and what your body will look like someday. What do you think that'll be like 20 years down the road, 40 years down the road, 50 years down the road? Or what about, what is your face going to look like? What's my face going to look like the day I die? Or maybe about 6 months after that, if someone could rig up a camera in my coffin, or a year after that, or 5 years after that. When I was in art school years ago at Mankato State, I remember in life drawing class one day, the teacher brought out skeleton heads and set them around the room and had us try to draw to get the facial structure down. Skeleton heads, and I remember standing there next to this on my desk and the other student drawing it with me right next to me. I remember looking up at him and thinking, that's going to start happening to us. That's going to happen to me someday. Job says in our text before us, "My skin will be destroyed." That's not a very pleasant thought as we project. You think it's scary to see what you're going to look like when you're 72? Just think what a decomposed head of ours, mine, yours, will look like. He says, "My skin will be destroyed." Now, this is not what God created your body for. God didn't create human beings so that they would just rot and go back into the ground and become dust and deteriorate and decompose and get eaten by worms. That wasn't what God's intent at all. God wanted us to be alive. He wanted your body to be alive. He wanted you to live. He wanted you to live eternally. And he still wants you to live eternally. And that's why he has sent his only son into this world on the great mission of getting you out of this problem, of redeeming you, of restoring you back to actual life so that your physical body likewise can know what true eternal life is all about. The beautiful familiar words of Job in front of us show what tremendous blessing there is of having faith in this Redeemer, in this Savior, who's gone through death and come out of it victoriously. And Job is now able to say, "I know that my Redeemer lives." This means something for him. St. Paul says to us who are Christians that we can point to our own bodies now and say, "This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." There's a beautiful passage in the Psalms where God, looking ahead at the resurrection of Christ, says, "You will not let your Holy One see decay," about Christ's resurrection. Think how neat it would be if somebody back then would have been able to take some of our modern-day technology and rig up a camera in the tomb of Christ in the darkness of that closed tomb, but somehow through night vision be able to actually watch the revivification process of our Lord Jesus Christ. I always wonder, what was the first sign of life? Was it his lungs starting to breathe a little bit on his chest? Was it his eyes flickering? Was it licking of the lips? Was there a breath that came out? Was there pulse in his wrist? What was the first indication that death was gone? And if someone to you as a believer in Christ could rig up a camera in your coffin someday, what will be the first indication and sign of your revivification? What will be the first indication that you're alive in Christ? This is the wonderful hope that God has given us in our Savior. From Job's words today, I would like you to take four things away. First of all, notice that it will be your body this is happening to. It's not going to be some other thing that you become reincarnated into. This will be your body, glorified. He says, "Out of my own flesh I shall see God," literally from inside of my own body. And then he emphasizes, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. Secondly, notice how connected Job's personal life is to this Redeemer and to Christ's resurrection, the one who says to you, because I live, you shall live also. Thirdly, notice the tremendous certainty that Job has because of what Christ has already accomplished. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives. In my flesh, I shall see God. Not just might, but I shall see God. And finally, notice how this permits him to look at his life, even though he's in the midst of despair, but how this permits him to look at his life in joyful anticipation of his own resurrection. I love that last line of the text today. How my heart yearns within me. The literal translation of the Hebrew there could be read this way. My insides are consumed with getting to see this. How our hearts yearn to see someday our own bodies get out of their caskets and be glorified in heaven. This week we've been focusing on the gift of faith and what a blessing faith in Christ truly is. How wonderful that God does not make our entrance into heaven dependent on how strong our faith is. Today, if you're sitting here even with a weak faith, a struggling faith, but if you're still, even so slightly, holding on to Christ by that slight faith, you still possess the full power of his resurrection, just as boldly as Job did and just as boldly as Abraham. And you are permitted to say then, as we just sang with Thomas Kingo in our hymn, death itself for me is transitory. I shall lift my head in glory. Amen.